Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, we're down in Studio 8 in the company of David Gray.
Hello, Ray.
Now, every time we spoke to you on the phone recently, you said, or we said to you, if ever you're in town, drop in and sing us a couple of songs. And you're a man of your word. You said yes, and here you are.
That's right. I'm here. Music is my game. David Gray is my name.
Yeah, we're in the lovely studio. Have you done stuff in here before?
I have, yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's got a Steinway, which is always a plus.
Yes.
Definitely.
I saw you just getting a sound check there in before we started. And there is something special about a grand piano. Will you just talk us through when you walk into a room and you see a Steinway, what effect it has on you?
Yes, it calls to me. It says, come and play. And each piano is different. I think there's a real physicality to the sound. It's such a big instrument, a big resonant chamber, basically, with all these strings and wires stretched out. So they're all different. They feel different, the way they've been played over the years, and just the sound they make in the room that they're in. And that leads to, it makes proposals of what kind of song you want to play. It's the whole relationship develops very, very quickly. That's what happens when you see a piano.
So you, like, you know, it's like the wet paint thing. People have to go and touch to see if it's still wet. When people can't pass by a piano without, you know, doing a tinkle, tinkle.
That's right. I love them very much. So it's always a treat to play a proper piano. There's a lot of duffers out there. This one's good.
So when you sat down at that then and you hadn't decided which song you were going to sing on it, what dictates that then?
Well, I don't know. It could be the mood that I'm in. I'm just thinking, I'm sort of prepping a lot of stuff for the tour. So I've got a whole backlog of stuff which I'm working through. So it's like I'm thinking practically, but if I'm perfectly honest,
yes.
I should run a few songs now while I'm on this piano and get them under my belt, because next week I'll be in there with the boys and having to do this with everybody
fair
else.
Enough, fair enough. On our time, yeah.
It was like a lot of stuff from New Day at Midnight I'm playing, because that record's been a bit neglected. I've played Be Mine and The Other Side over the years, but most of the rest of it hasn't been touched. I think it was a bit of an awkward record, but I'm going back there definitely on this next tour. I'm doing like a deep dive, as I think I've said on previous occasions, into sort of lots of catalogue.
Mm.
So, yeah, so learning those songs again. There's a song called Last Boat to America on that record, which I really love. Things like that, I've really got to get my head around them again. It's a long time, it's 20 years since I played them really properly.
And you mentioned touring there. You're in Ireland next year, April 5th and May 2nd in the Three Arena. You're in the INEC in August 27th, and you're in Belfast as well. So that's news for fans. And the new album, record, whatever they call it now, Dear Life, is out in January.
Yeah, that's right, January 17th. So that's getting ever closer. The moon is slowly emerging from behind a cloud. I mean, I finished this record quite a long time ago. Keeping plus and minus the single and the duet and all the sort of messing about we did with that out of the equation, I think the rest of the music was probably finished back in February 2024. So it's been waiting a goodly while.
Why?
So just because that's the way things are, because I've got my own record label. I've got to strike up relationships that organise a time to release it that works for everybody and all this kind of stuff. So then we'll put a single out in September. That didn't seem so far away. And then we'll put other tracks out and we'll put the album out in January. It always takes a lot longer than I want it to, but that's just the way it is these days.
And your own record company, did that start with White Ladder?
That was IHT Records,
right,
which was with my old manager, Rob. And as that relationship ended recently, so that record company ended too. So I've started a new one, which is called Laugh a Minute Records. Laugh a Minute Records.
Right.
And
why
I just seemed like a good idea at the time, Ray, right, when everything was far from being a laugh a minute, I can tell you. So, Laugh a Minute Records, that Skellig came out on that. That was the first release. And now Dear Life will be the second release. So, yes, it's all sort of starting all over again.
And you mentioned Plus and Minus, which was the first, I suppose, taster from the album. Will you play that for us? Is that piano friendly?
It's very piano friendly, so here we go. You know the way desire is always wanting something added. You know this whole routine is getting old. It's getting old. It's getting old.
Very nice. We had a teacher who used to give out to us for using the word nice.
Yeah.
Because it's an overused word.
Well, it is.
Do you find that when you're writing lyrics that you, you know, you can fall into a trapper?
You've got words like baby and stuff that, you know, you sort of, I don't know, it's like a law of songwriting. You're allowed to use them even though they're not very imaginative.
Yeah.
Darling, baby, honey. Like, I don't go around saying those things, you know. No. I'd be a different man if I did.
Yeah.
So someone from the 1970s, an unreconstructed sort of 1970s character. But it's a real adventure writing lyrics, and I'm always looking for something that has that freshness to it, a rhyming scheme or a set of words that maybe aren't so familiar. So I generally try and avoid the cliches, or if I'm going to use them, I'll make it a deliberate act.
Yeah. What about AI? And you?
Well, we're making a good job of ruining music without AI, so don't worry. We'll get there first. I know, like getting the moon landing. We'll ruin music before AI does.
But maybe it's a tipping point, and maybe people will crave, you know, the live stuff, the real stuff, the human stuff.
Well, it's obviously these things can, they can, it's basically AI is like a very, very powerful sampler. So a sampler, something that kind of came into music in the late 80s and the 90s. And then, you know, dance music, sort of urban music kind of used it. And it was kind of dismissed a bit as like non-musicianships, you know, sampling someone else's drum beat or bass line or whatever it is, Ice Ice Baby. And that's really what AI gives you. It gives you the ultimate sampler. I think that's okay. That could be creative. It's the ideas of it in its more sinister guise, which is sort of like you could get it to study the entire works of James Brown and then get a bunch of songwriters to write songs for the AI James Brown. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, just thinking court case.
Or David Gray.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, you know, I think there's obviously going to be a temptation to use it. But I think in terms of writing, yeah, suffering and the moment and living, those it's not intelligence of a human type.
Mm.
It'll be more powerful intelligence in terms of its binary speed.
Processing data,
it's not going to be able to do the things that... We overprivilege thinking. It's we are bodies first and thoughts second. So I think for that reason, it will never be able to really inhabit the human experience.
Bodies first, thoughts second.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, the brain's just a part of your body.
Well, you know, these transhumanist people, they believe that the only limiting thing of being human is the body.
I know, well, there's a lot. I mean, I think the tech we have in our hands has encouraged us to be more individualistic, to disassociate the sort of body from things. It's all about identity and determining who you are, what you are, what you think. But that's not really the whole truth. So that's not an avenue I'm particularly going down. I'm going the other way. I've turned back and I'm
Heart.
Heading. I'm going back the other way.
Yeah. It's the vagus nerve. It connects our brain to our heart and our digestive system.
No, it's the vagus.
It is.
Right, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, good. Yeah, I like this.
That's what they're talking about in all the books now, David. You just get with the program. That's the current trend. Okay, so you're going back 20 years then, and you're going to do a bit of rehearsal, but you're going to share it with us. Is that it?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I could. What do you want to hear? I mean, I don't really know.
It's what you feel at the moment.
Yeah, well, I was just going to run other side, so let's do that. Meet me on the other side. Meet me on the other side. I'll see you on the other side. I'll see you on the other side. Honey, now, if I'm honest, I still don't know what love is.
That was beautiful. Have you ever done a Christmas song?
Have you?
No, oh, but no. I've done. No, I haven't. No,
why
I
mean, not?
I don't like. Just can't think of one. It's like, it's not an easy area. I mean, like when it all starts every year, I'm like, oh God, no, we're going into that again. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Get involved with that. You know, the fairy tale in New York thing. Like, could I write one of those?
Well, that's
well, yeah. But
that's, when we're talking top, that's
the top of the most,
yes.
Of the popper most.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the. It's probably the best Christmas song ever written, I would say. So just amazing, the whole thing. So, you know, yeah, the idea of doing something like that, but where
is it fear of failure?
No, it's like, it's a very deliberate thing. So it's, if something came to me, oh, I know, I've got a great idea for a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to be somehow inverting or playing with the theme of a Christmas song. But, you know, it's obviously a cheesy arena and you enter at your peril.
So April 5th, May 2nd, that's the Three Arena, and the INEC in Killarney, August 27th, and you're in Belfast as well, and that's the Irish tour next year. And Dear Life is the album, which we can't wait to hear, January 17th, and After the Harvest and Plus and Minus are available to listen to now as a taster.
That's right, yeah, and there's more tracks coming, I think, before the album comes out too.
Right. And do you deliberate for a long time over the track listing? It doesn't matter as much as it used to.
Well, I think it matters to me because okay. I still want to think of it as like putting pictures up in a gallery and you're kind of steering people in. So you want to make your point, develop your ground right at the beginning. So Plus and Minus wanted to sit in behind After the Harvest. That was its place. After the Harvest had to lead the record out, I think, because it feels instantly familiar and yet it's something completely different for me too. So I love that song. And then it was just trying to get the light and shade to feel right. And I wanted to conclude with The First Stone. That's a song that I wrote and recorded myself during COVID. So it wasn't part of this sort of starburst of writing that happened at the end of COVID that most of the record is constituted from. I actually wrote and recorded that. And it's got that kind of aching, open emptiness to it, really. So anyway, that one was going to be the end kind of thing. I knew the beginning and the end, and I just had to get it to make sense. So yes, it does matter.
Does it? And would you think that there's a second side too? No.
Yeah, well, I think it's a double album.
Oh, right.
Really, truly, because of the length of it. So when you put it on vinyl, the vinyl will have 15 tracks. There'll be two extra tracks. It's too much music for one go, I think. But because it was part of a very large burst of writing, I've got another load of songs that'll come after this. So I thought, well, I might as well just put it all out because what's going to happen to it? I've got another record to make, which I've got the songs for. So that was my kind of thinking. And when you listen on vinyl or whatever, you do turn the record
you
over
do.
So you can have a break,
yes.
You know, because I'd say two sides is probably enough and then have a breather, have a cup of tea, come back.
Right.
But no one on streaming platforms listens really to the whole album.
No.
It's not a very frequent thing anyway.
No.
You're sort of encouraged to be hopping about here, there and everywhere. So I think that it doesn't
matter.
They'll
probably press shuffle anyway. After all the thought you've put into it, they'll press shuffle, David.
Well, that's it. It doesn't matter. But I think what matters is you put it out in the form you want it out, and then the world will scramble it and do what it wants, and there'll be all kinds of stuff happening to the songs once they're out there.
Final question, my 12-year-old self. How many songs have you recorded?
I don't know. It's got to be over a couple of hundred.
Right.
Somewhere between 200 and 300, I'd say.
And you were saying earlier on that you have to learn some of those ones again.
Of course, yeah, because, I mean, there's only so much space in the head, so it generally has in it what I'm working on now and maybe some, like, Century Ends and Flesh, because we did that earlier this year, so that's still there. But after a while, you start to displace things. There's only so much room on the bus. Someone's got to get off the back door as they're getting on the front. So to try and cram all these songs and to learn all the albums is an undertaking I haven't really done.
Right.
So, so that means that there are neglected little things. But I think if you don't water them, they die. You know what I mean? You've got to kind of present them again. And as I do think Lost Songs and New Day at Midnight in particular haven't really received much love.
The care and attention they
deserve. Because you write other music and you focus on that and then focus on that. And then obviously the White Ladder stuff survives and the hits survive.
Yes.
But
yeah.
You don't really go back. So that's something I will be rectifying, remedying on this big outing. It's going to be super positive. I mean, as I told you before, this I'd be lying if I didn't have a kind of slightly daunted feeling. There's an intensity to the touring next year that's not really something I've been up against for a while.
Why? Because the number of people on stage with you, is that it?
No, just the amount of
shows and the short space between the tours.
And right. So 40-odd shows in not that much longer. Okay. Than, you know, it's like it's going to be bang, bang, bang. Right. I mean, we're all getting a bit older, so
yes.
It's going to be very intense. I think that's the truth of it. The first few weeks will be thrillingly new as we sort of grapple with the new form, the new songs, and then we'll settle into the old, you know, everyone will start getting annoyed with each other again. People who've hung around too much.
Yeah.
I think I'll go to the back lounge.
If you like the songs, get off the bus.
I like you so much, I'm going to end this conversation now and go to my bunk.
Right. Well, yeah, oh, you have to go now anyway, actually. You have another appointment. David Gray, thank you so much. And thanks so much for singing those two songs for us on the Steinway. Really enjoy that. Thanks, David.
Well, my pleasure.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.